Parental advisory, explicit content. Everything you're about to read actually happened. A few small details have been changed to either build a little creative context or to keep someone anonymous. But even Melissa Joan Hart did that in her memoir, and what's good for MJH is good for me. Also, like Bill and Ted attempting to finish a term paper, I've manipulated time for storytelling purposes. In case any of these disclosures now has you questioning whether my book is worth your time, I asked my mom to write a paragraph in hopes of convincing you to make the commitment. Here that is.
Jensen is an incredibly loving son who has written a very enjoyable book. When he was 3 years old, on a trip to the petting zoo, he played the ears of a baby goat as if they were drums and then proceeded to ask the goat its name. Jensen waited a second, looked up at his dad and me, and explained in an excited tone, "Oh, right, Billy!" He smacked his own forehead like it was the most obvious answer, and it was just plain stupid to ask a goat such a question. This is the exact same way I feel about you, second-guessing his book. Thank you. Haroldine Gearhart, July 5th, 2015.
You heard the woman. Enjoy the book, Billy. Intro. You have three brain tumors, but I'm really only concerned with one of them, the doctor said in his grimmest tone. The other two seem insignificant. Like Destiny's Child, I asked, proving I had no idea how to handle serious things. No laugh. I don't blame myself for making light of a critical medical moment. I still blame myself for thinking the doctor would understand the complexities of Destiny's Child in the 2000s. It had all started about a week earlier, when at 29 years old, I woke up with a ringing in my ears that didn't disappear for 6 hours. Worried, I made an urgent appointment, and after a standard checkup, my doctor told me that a shot of cortisone would ease what he thought was just inflammation. I sighed with relief, ready for the next small physical ailment that would throw me into a tailspin. A month earlier, I had Googled rickets when I thought my bones seemed tired. Knowing my hypochondriac tendencies and my overall state of panic, my doctor suggested that the ear ringing might actually be a blessing. It meant that my insurance company would pay for an MRI/brain scan, which he explained was always a good thing. Why not get it, he asked. It's available to you, and they're usually expensive. And although this theory would be awful when applied to many things, drugs, semi-automatic weapons, pet lions, I understood the logic. Soon after the scan, when a nurse called to let me know the doctor wanted to go over the results, I half-heartedly said, sure, put him through. She explained he was very busy and needed to set up a time for me to come into the office. And like a clueless third grader who keeps asking about the stork even after he watches porn, I missed the point completely. Well, if he's so busy, let's make it even easier by doing it over the phone, I suggested. Her voice got lower, quickly revealing that things were about to suck. And the words, listen, you need to come in, dragged out, seeping through the telephone line and into my ear. I said, sure, hung up, and then somehow stopped myself from typing nearest cliff to jump off into MapQuest. Once in the office, I watched the doctor's mouth slowly move as he explained the three white spots he'd found on my midbrain, a section in charge of sleeping, walking, and alertness, among other things. So no big deal. Just totally essential actions needed to live. It all got rather blurry at this point, but I found out that the spot's placement made them inoperable. If the surgeon strayed even a little, I'd incur significant damage or become a vegetable. He suggested I see a neurologist, as if I were graduating to a new level of difficulty, like when you beat Super Mario Bros. 2 and start playing the one where Mario dresses up like a flying squirrel. But no matter what the doctor said or how he sugarcoated it, all I heard was, it's time to go home and plan your funeral. For the record, I'd like to be carried into the service while WWE superstar The Undertaker's music plays. I felt doomed, mostly because my family is riddled with cancer. In my immediate circle, we have just under a dozen cases, including my father, who passed away during his second bout. So if your office has a cancer pool, I'm a good pick. Also, you work with assholes. My family is to cancer what the Kardashians are to black boyfriends. Living with that kind of medical uncertainty is something you can't really prepare for. Sure, a neighbor, or your friend's great aunt, or the relief pitcher for the 1985 American League champion Kansas City Royals Dan Quisenberry might die of brain cancer, but not you. And in the rare case that you do face this type of horrible revelation, you assume you'll pass out or scream, or that your entire life will flash right before your eyes, because that's what happens in movies. So that's what I planned for. I got sweaty. I felt the tears well up. I even felt lightheaded.